He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Friday. It's Friday already. It's the July 28th edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide fee-based only money management firm. I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. We said it would be a busy week, that it was. And I would say for the most part it was a good week. And look at where we're at right now. The NASDAQ is up 234 points, 14,284. That's a 1.7% gain on this Friday. The Dow is up 147. It's up 0.4%. I'm going to thank Intel, I think, mostly for today's move. Today's move is sponsored by Intel. The S&P 500 is up almost a percentage, 1% is up 90 basis points. It's at 4,578. It is up 41 points. The small caps are up 1.3%, so it's definitely a risk-on day. It's a day that favors the high P.E. stocks over the low P.E. stocks. Yesterday was just the opposite of that. Crude oil is down 51 cents right now to $79.58, but it did have a print above $80 per barrel, I think either yesterday or early this morning. Gold is up $10 to $19.95. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, and I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. We've weathered a very busy week, looking forward to the weekend, but we've got a really strong rally going on in the market. Barry, I'm going to give the credit to Intel. Do you see any other factors out there? I'm
yes,
sure there's others.
Certainly at the when you're looking at the it's really carrying the Dow, that and Procter Gamble today. But I'm not sure why on Procter Gamble. But yeah, the first, as much as we've talked that about Intel, we'll give them some credit. Certainly they've continued to kind of. The bar was low, but they certainly outperformed it. But yeah, great PCE index inflation rating today. So those came in just under what was expected there. We can dive into that here in a little while. But I think it's really partly in the inflation story, and then earnings this week with 40% of companies reporting in from the S&P 500. Everyone seemed to come in pretty well. So
yeah, just a few exceptions. I've seen a lot of headlines out there about Intel that they've finally turned the corner. Things like this, right? The light at the end of the tunnel.
Well, they announced PC. Some of the PC demand was back. Of course, a lot of that was front ended for during COVID, where folks were working from home and refurbished their computers, and that kind of they kind of announced kind of an end to that drought, and that demand should pick back up, or is picking back up in the individual PC market, which helps Intel as well.
Yeah, and when anything is said about the PC market, up goes Microsoft, up goes Google, up goes AMD,
right.
Up goes all of the companies that are associated with PC, personal computer sales. Which have been pretty soft and in a downward trend for the last couple of years. So that's the other part of the equation. I'm hearing a lot of analysts saying we've turned the corner on that, and things are starting to pick up again in the PC world. So put all of that together, and you've got a pretty good day going on in the market. Will it make it till the end of the day? Will it do the old Friday fade?
Yes.
My habit has been to buy a few shares of Sark at the beginning of the day, at the open on Friday. Sark is double short ARK, which is Kathy Wood's High Flyers. They seem to get clipped every Friday. We'll see. I did buy just a few shares personally, not in the clients' accounts, but I did personally just because I've seen this pattern before where the market opens up big Friday morning at the open and then throughout the day it fades. What I'll be interested to see later today is the results of the 166 S&P 500 companies that reported earnings this past week, because we can add that on now to the 60 that reported last week. And we now are at about the halfway point. And generally speaking, by now, we've got a good read on the direction of earnings. Now, I don't have that number for you as we sit here today. I don't even have the direction of that number as we sit here today right now at this point. It takes some work during the day and later on today as I see where the analyst estimates are going on these 500 companies that make up the S&P 500, how many have beat their earnings estimates, and where those numbers for this quarter currently are at. Now, last week, the numbers went down about a buck per share for the S&P 500. I think the number was at about $51.35. We'll see where it is this week. But more importantly, we'll see. We're getting some pretty good guidance now that we can rely on a little bit more for next year, 2024, which is what the market has already priced in this year. And it's looking ahead to 2024 earnings. And we're going to have a really good look at by the end of today, early tomorrow. That's how much time it's going to take for me to get a handle on it. Then I send that out every Saturday, late morning, on the East Coast, to all my subscribers and folks that get the newsletter, all of our clients. And you can get 2 weeks free at GundersonCapital.com. In simplest terms, why has the market been going up since really 2009? That's right. Look at a chart. Just pull up a chart. Go to stockcharts.com. Go to barchart.com. Plot in March of 2009 until today for the Dow, for the S&P 500, for the NASDAQ, any one of your main indexes. And what you'll see is a line sloping upwards. That is what a bear market or a bull market is. It's an uptrend in the overall averages. And why has that uptrend been in place? Because there's been an uptrend in earnings since 2009. Other than a hiccup in 2020 with COVID, and it looks like actually this year is going to be about flat with last year. But having said that, we've gone from $60 per share to somewhere in the neighborhood of $220 per share this year. And the market follows earnings, and the market or the stocks also follow earnings. Why has Microsoft been going up? Google been going up? AMD? Because earnings have been going up.
And earnings expectations have been going up.
And expectations. And right now, that's what we're going to key in on later today, tonight, tomorrow morning, is what has happened to those expectations. Have they been lowered? Are they about the same? Or have they gone up considerably? That is critical. And a lot of times I think that's why the Friday fade happens, because as you do the math and whatnot on those 500 companies, I know last Friday for sure, it started to become apparent that the expectations went down last Friday on the coming on this earnings season and on the coming earnings season, and you saw the Friday fade. So as we all do our math today, we'll see what impact that has on the market later today. And then I think also a lot of traders cut out early on Friday.
On this time of year, for sure.
And a lot of them don't want to be long the market, the hedge funds and whatnot, don't want to be long the market over the weekend, because heaven forbid what might happen over the weekend. So anyways, we'll see how today plays out. We're having a fantastic day. Last time I looked, we had several big winners today, including, let's see,
Airbnb. Even though we don't own Intel.
Yeah. Tesla, Google, Amazon, all up over 2% today.
Yeah, and even though we don't own Google, I mean, and even though we don't own Intel,
yeah, we
it's
don't
still
own
pushing,
Intel.
it's still providing a tailwind for a lot of those names that
yes,
we do own
that's
today.
It, so. It's lifting a lot of other stocks by the coattails today. And, you know, I've come really close several times to buying Intel, but I never could make the valuation work. You know, you can push the numbers as much as you want, try to make that valuation work. It doesn't work for me. We'll see after today if it starts to look a little bit more, you know, I want that 75-80% upside out there. And I haven't seen that in Intel for years. But there's plenty of others out there with that kind of upside potential. We talk about them daily here on the Best Stocks Now show. We'll be right back. Back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, I mean, looking back at this week, we had GDP, which came in better than expected. We had the Fed getting rid of their forecast for a recession this year. We had the Fed raise rates by 25 basis points, which tells you that they're not too worried about the economy, and the odds for that soft landing seem to have gone way up, which we've been calling for quite some time. Now, yesterday we had a very unusual day. The market was way up, and then it went way down, okay? The Dow ended down 237 yesterday, and I think maybe... You know, yesterday, I don't know if you noticed it, Barry, but throughout the day, you had a 19 basis point jump in interest rates yesterday. To me, the market is getting ahead and pricing in another rate hike at the next Fed meeting. That's what I read into that. What do you think?
Yeah, well, there's kind of the day after the or the day of the announcement, you had about a 50%, essentially about a 50% chance of one more quarter rate hike. It was pretty much unanimous that analysts thought there'd be one more in terms of this week's raise, and then in terms of one more, you have about a 50% chance. So anytime you have this, we're kind of in this data dependent mode. You're in this capitulation stage, right, where you're almost done or close to done or what have you, and so it creates a lot of volatility around these these normal kind of economic data points that used to not in normal times, right? Each one of these individual weekly jobless numbers was, just something that would pass by and, on the ticker below the screen. Now it's, almost you can have a whole segment about it. And so anytime you get that, you're going to, to me, you're going to have some increased volatility, right? And who knows what data point, right, came out at that particular moment in time between the time that we started the show yesterday and then the time at the close. So
19 basis points. The bond market really took a whack.
Yeah, and it's down
yesterday.
Five. And then
it's
the Treasury
back down today.
Down 5 basis points today, under 4%. I think we're at 3.95 the last time I looked, and a lot of that's on the PCE inflation index that came in. Just under most of the numbers either came in as expected or, 0.1% under. Inflation numbers continue to move in the right direction. The Fed says they're data dependent. And so, today markets up given the fact, that it was a good PCE inflation report, which is what the Fed looks at, in terms of inflation. That's the report that they use. They don't.
Yep. And just looking back on earnings, I would say the standouts of the week for me, obviously Meta had a huge, huge report.
Yep.
Boeing had a huge, huge report, pushing that stock over 235. We're fortunate. I mean, all the big reports we've owned so far. Google, Alphabet had a big report. The only one that disappointed was Microsoft.
Yeah, and that was really more on the reaction. I mean, they beat on the top line number. They beat on the bottom line number, and it was, you know, kind of, and I think they raised guidance a bit going forward. It was just, you know, the way the market interpreted that, you know, the call and just the numbers in general with some of the cloud computing, their Azure line growth not showing as much growth as it has. It's still in the 20s or something.
Yeah.
but yeah, that was probably certainly the only one that really comes to mind in terms of, you know, the market's reaction didn't really.
And Chipotle would be another one that had a big whiff, and they got hit pretty hard. Now, Germany's inflation rate drops to 6.2% in July, so it's still obviously a lot more stubborn over in Europe than it is here. We're down under 5 now. We're like 4.8. And they also had 0% growth in Germany.
Yeah, they've got growth issues for sure.
So now that brings up the stagflation worries, okay, when you have a stagnant economy and continued inflation. And that, a lot of people said that was why our market sold off yesterday, was worries about stagflation. Okay, Intel pops as Wall Street sees light at the end of the PC tunnel. Okay. So let's just look at a few. When you think PCs, obviously the first one you think of is Microsoft. It's up 1.9%. AMD, which is in most PCs, it's up 2.2%. NVIDIA, which is in a lot of the gaming PCs, it's up 1.8%. And I suppose Google to some extent. With all the searches we do, it's had a good week. What a great week for Google. It's up another 2.5% today. And then, of course, Intel itself is up 5.3%. It has come back a little bit. It was up over 6% at one time. And also what they're saying is their revenue deterioration has finally halted. I mean, they were losing market share. They've been losing sales for years.
Well, their EPS had been, you know, was negative. I mean, it was pretty, I mean, I think their forward P at the moment is like in the 80s, which, you know, and that's because they're supposed to really get some EPS back, you know, in the quarters to come.
Yes, And one other thing I would say about, there's a little bit of excitement over their AI, artificial intelligence efforts. I don't think you can ever count Intel out. I mean, they were the beginning of all of this, really, Silicon Valley. So I wouldn't be counting, but it's been years since they've really started taking away. They've been losing market share.
Well, they were an innovator, right? And then, you know, they kind of, you know, had a couple of implementation missteps, and that's where, you know, kind of AMD became kind of, you know, more of, say, an innovator in that space. And then, of course, NVIDIA, they started really with their video cards, but now they're certainly into the chip space too. But yeah, they were a huge innovator, and their innovation right level has really dropped off in the last decade or so.
Yep. Now, believe it or not, what I would call the stock of the day, and I don't have a lot of faith in it, Roku, because of all the competition in the streaming space. But Roku is up 21% today. I got to believe that there's some short covering in there. But their revenue and their losses beat expectations. Okay. This is a whole different ball game here. This is a long term stock, long duration that they're hoping someday will be profitable. So, you know, they don't talk about how much they beat their earnings. They instead talk about how they lose less money than they were expected to lose. And, of course, that's a big one in Kathy Wood's ARK funds. Let's check in on SARK right now. SARK is down 3.52%. I'm up about 15 cents from where I bought it, however. We may have seen the top for the day in the markets. We'll see. We'll be right back. This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show. Back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show, where we have a really hot day going on in the market again today with cooler than expected inflation numbers and hotter than expected earnings out of Intel. Okay, another stock in the news today is Ford. Now it's down 4%. It was having a good day. They were rallying after hiking guidance and setting lofty EV targets, but that was before the conference call. Okay.
Yeah.
So after
they're losing money. They're losing money making EVs, and so they're not going to grow the EV business as fast as they initially said they were, which actually will save them money. But yeah, I mean it's a crowded space, and when you're not rolling a bunch of them off the line, just ask Tesla in their early years. You know you've got to have them. Scale matters, and you've got to produce a lot of them to make it profitable.
I've seen very few Ford EVs running around town. I do see a Lightning every once in a while.
And I see one of those Mustang.
Some of the Mustangs.
Every once in a while.
But you see a lot more Teslas than you do electric Ford vehicles. And, Ford, so when the company reports earnings, first they file just the numbers. The income statement, the three big statements, the income statement, the balance sheet, and the cash flow statement. And then, okay, that gives the analyst a little bit of time to look at the raw numbers. And then comes the conference call where they make statements. And then the analysts are able to ask questions. And that must be where Ford had a big problem. It's down 4% right now. Okay, oil did close yesterday above $80 for the first time since April. Now it's back just slightly under $80. But as I do my daily walk through the market and looking at individual charts, for the last several weeks, there's been a lot of really good movement in individual stocks within the oil sector. Names like ConocoPhillips have been breaking out. EOG has been breaking out. Apache, APA, Range Resources, EQT, etc. So I continue. We do have some exposure to that oil sector, which is highly unpredictable, but at the same time, a necessary part, cog in the wheel of the global economy. There continue to be, and it tends to be a lower PE sector. Now, here's some news out of Meta that is a little bit disturbing. More than half the people that signed up for Threads quit. Okay, so I don't know if they didn't like the platform, if they just went on there to check it out to see what's going on. But Meta said it plans features to boost retention at Threads. That's their answer to Twitter, as more than half of the users quit.
Well, you would have thought. But I guess when you roll this kind of stuff out, you should think of retention on the front end, right?
unless they rushed it just to get something out there against Musk. I don't know. But that's kind of discouraging there. That was one of the things that was really moving Meta before their earnings report.
At least they still have at least Reels has stuck, right?
If they can get that Threads right, I mean, they've got 3 billion eyeballs, actually 6 billion eyeballs that could come on board there. So we'll see. Taiwan Semiconductor inaugurates a new R&D hub. They're looking at the next generation of semiconductors, wherever that leads us, and I got to believe it's going to be centered around artificial intelligence, and they're opening that hub in Taiwan. You know, they've tried to venture outside of Taiwan, but it sounds to me like the people that are the most knowledgeable and the workers that they need for all of this are in Taiwan for the most part. They've had a good...
Yeah, there's some intellectual capital there. I mean, it's not easy to create a dust-free zone and all the other things that go into making semiconductors, and they've done it for a while, and like I said, they've got some, you know, intellectual capital that I think is probably hard to pass on.
Yeah, and you mean obviously the big worry there is, as Elon Musk said, it would seem inevitable that at some point Red China is going to try to take them. Right now they're just doing it through job owning and threats, like they did with Hong Kong at first. And when Hong Kong wouldn't cave to China, then they had to up the pressure and use force, so... That's the big threat to Taiwan Semiconductor, I would say. Exxon slips after Q2 miss. Yeah, okay, the big oil companies, Exxon's down 1.9%, but that would not be my favorite oil stock at all. It's almost half $1 trillion in size. Pays a big fat dividend yield of 3.5%. But they missed a little bit on their Q2. And Chevron also reported earnings today, and they also missed just a little bit. Chevron is down 1%.
Yeah, it seems like it wasn't long ago where they were getting, you know, the tongue lashing, right, from the Biden side of things in terms of making too much money.
Right.
So I wonder if they call, you think they get a phone call for apologies for not earnings?
You know, they always want to put a windfall profit.
Right. Yeah.
When they have one good quarter, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So now Procter & Gamble is leading the Dow, I would have to say. It's up 3.2%. It's kind of the epitome of consumer staples, you know, things that we continue to buy, even in a tough economy. So you've got really four stocks leading the Dow right now. You've got Intel. That is a big impact on the Dow. Intel's up 5.8%. You've got Procter & Gamble up 3.1%. And the Dow, until yesterday, what was it, like 12 days in a row? Win streak.
I think it got to. I want to say it got to 13 or 14, and whatever. If it would have just finished, I think what under yesterday. If it would have been positive yesterday, I think it would have been. I think it's the first time since like 18 something. So
yeah,
you know, which the Dow's only been around since 18 something.
So, it's hard for me to imagine this gain to fade to zero below the line today, but you never know. Boeing is up 2.3%. Boeing has had a great week. Boeing earlier this week talked about all the people that are going to be needed in the aviation industry to meet the demand going forward. They've had a good week. Okay, and then one of the home builders reported today, Beazer Homes, BZH. You know what? These stocks just continue to break out. Look at BZH. Look at that chart. It's up 16% today. We own one home builder. It's not BZH. BZH is a smaller one that has a lot in Atlanta. They're headquartered in Atlanta. They do a lot in different states, however. Beazer is up 16% right now. And, you know, it's not like there's a favorable interest rate environment for home buyers. There's a shortage. It's the old a supply and demand issue. And then another home builder, Meritage, they also reported earnings today. Same exact story. It's up 8.3%, a new 52-week high. Meritage is headquartered in Scottsdale, Arizona. And it's that shortage of homes that continues to be a great sector. And then last but not least, another sector that I can't make sense of it from a valuation point of view, but for whatever reason, the trucking sector, Covenant Logistics and SAIA and other trucking stocks continue to sizzle and hit new highs. And I'm not quite sure why, what's driving it. But I would say that they're heavy cyclicals that depend on a robust economy to be moving and goods.
And the price of diesel.
And the price of diesel, which has been moving up lately. But they have a hard time filling the jobs there. But the trucking stocks have done really well. They're one of the leading sectors, the transportation sector. Okay, so when we come back, we'll look at the internals here of the market. Especially to look inside the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ and see what's driving that. But so far, the market is holding on to its gains. The NASDAQ is up 209 and the Dow is up 188 right now. We'll be right back. Back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show, where we had a very, very eventful, interesting week in the market. Lots of earnings coming in. We had a Fed meeting. We had some spectacular earnings reports coming from the likes of Google and Meta, Facebook, and Boeing. Today, Roku seems to be the star, up 23%, and, of course, Intel. Well, that's a surprise, up 5.2%. Intel's the biggest winner in the Dow. Let's just look at a chart of Intel. Okay, so it's running right into its resistance level. It's not breaking out to new 52-week highs here. Intel has been, its all-time high was 69, and it's currently at 36. So it has a long way to go to regain its old glory, if it ever is going to. But today it's up 5.6% after a better-than-expected earnings report. Boeing has an excellent chart, just an excellent chart again today. They had a big, big jolt 3 days ago.
And their backlog is, I'll find their backlog, but it's, I forget how many points, like 4,000 something points.
I know they're hiring.
I mean, in terms of, you know, on a go, you know, short of, obviously they've got input costs and other things, but yeah, and just to, at least on the revenue side, right, the top line revenue, you know, it's pretty, it's a pretty sticky set of revenue when you look at size of their backlog.
Their big thing is just getting them done and out finished and out the door and not have any issues with them.
And doing it profitably, right? I mean, we know that they're going to have the top line revenue number, and it's like, you know, just how much of that trickles down to the bottom line, right?
Yep. Now the other side of the Dow, yeah, there's not really much that's down. The only one that's down is Cisco, down 2%, Exxon down 1.8%, United Healthcare down 1%. Those are all kind of laggard stocks. Right now,
backlog's $440 billion. By the way,
wow,
at 4,800 commercial planes. So
in orders, I hope the salesman doesn't have to wait till it's rolled off the line to get paid his commission.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
He's been, we're going to wait a long time. Now,
you got to stick around for the company for 10 years before you get paid on that one, I guess.
Now, the S&P, T. Rowe Price is the big winner, up 10.3%. Of course, they're a big mutual fund company. They really haven't gotten into the ETFs. I think T. Rowe Price's biggest claim to fame is all the 401ks that use their funds, along with Fidelity. They're a pretty good stock-picking firm, I would say, in their mutual funds. That stock's up 10.3% today. Cincinnati Financial is number two. The financials have had a good couple of weeks here, good about 2 or 3 weeks. And then the coattails of Intel lifting KLA. I think they had earnings, too. That's a semiconductor equipment maker. We own several of those, and they all had a good week. That's another one I left off, which had a very good stellar report, was Lam Research, LRCX.
Oh, yeah.
And that lifted ASML, which has also had a good week. They're having a good day today. Meta's up another 3.4% today. That's a very good chart. That's just a picture-perfect chart on Meta. I updated my five-year valuation also on Meta this week after their earnings estimates. You know what? I just can't tell you how invaluable those five-year earnings estimates are. A six-month target price for me is really, it's useless. A 3 to 6 month target price, it's useless. I want to know what the company's prospects look like going forward over the next several years based on, like you say, look at the backlog. You do the math of how many they're going to roll out at Boeing, what that's going to do to the profit, to the income statement, what that's going to do to the bottom line. What's that going to carry? Boeing is looking for $5.29 in earnings next year, but now factor in that backlog and go out the next 3 to 5 years. That's what I'm interested in. To me, that's just logic. It just makes sense. If analysts are giving out five-year earnings growth rates, why would you not do five-year price targets? And keeping within that range of 75-80% or more upside potential over the next 3 to 5 years keeps you out of valuation trouble. There's just a lot of stocks out there that I would not put new money in, and I determine that by looking at that three. The app is only $9.99 a month. I mean, just to get those three to, you're not going to get those target prices anywhere else that I know of. For the entire stock market, that's pretty incredible. Okay, so anyways, Meta having another good day. Now, over at the NASDAQ, the NASDAQ winners, KLA up 6%. Dish Networks is one that they're playing with, the Reddit boys and girls. It's up 8.5%. They also play with Sirius Satellite. It's up 5.5%. To me, those aren't serious stocks. They're just play toys. Intel up 5.3. Chinese stocks had a good week. JD.com up 5%. I don't like the Chinese stocks. Applied Materials up 4%. Baidu, another Chinese stock. It's had a big week. If you want to play China AI, artificial intelligence, Baidu is the play. Amazon's also having a good day. It's up 2.8%. And Alphabet, another good day, up 2.5%. Excellent chart on Alphabet, by the way. Lam Research, excellent chart on Lam Research. Just excellent, up another 2.2%. And AMD, which, when does AMD report? They report on the August 1st.
Yes,
well,
we're be
this is the 28th.
Yeah.
That's Tuesday. All right. I'm taking the day off Tuesday. No, AMD will report on Tuesday. They've been a little soft lately. I think it's basically because they haven't wowed anybody with their AI chips. to take on NVIDIA, but I would never count AMD out at all.
I got to believe they're working on their on that presentation, earnings presentation at the moment, right?
Yes.
Because they haven't, they really haven't. You know,
we'll get an update.
They haven't advertised AI as near as much as NVIDIA has.
Okay, I hear the music to get the update on these earnings. It's all about earnings right now. I get tomorrow's newsletter at GundersonCapital.com to talk to us about juicing or overhauling or whatever we need to do to your portfolio, 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.